My dearly beloved in Christ, in today's gospel, our Lord admonishes us not to become preoccupied, overly worried, or our Lord uses the word anxious about our material needs. But let us especially concentrate on the final sentence of this gospel, in which our Lord says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides." We must take that to heart and put the seeking of the kingdom of God, getting to heaven, to make that our primary focus, our primary goal. That is indeed why God created us. And to use St. Paul's words, work out your salvation. Each of us has to do that because no one else can do it for us. Each of us is responsible for the salvation of his or her immortal soul. And no one accomplished that task better than the saints. The saints are our heroes. We should learn about them. We should know the basic details of the lives of a good number of saints. And we should invoke them and strive to imitate them, strive to pattern our lives after the lives of the saints. And in that regard, I would like to speak a little bit about the great saint whose feast we celebrate today. And that is Pope St. Pius X, who died on August 20th of 1914, just a little more than a century ago. And his feast was assigned to the 3rd of September. He was a great saint, a great pope, and we know he is in heaven because he was canonized by Pope Pius XII in 1954. And when a true pope canonizes a man or woman, declares this person a saint, we know infallibly that that person is in heaven. Pope Pius X became a great pope, but he began as a poor boy, a member of a peasant family, farming family, working in the fields, etc. And because of his piety, his mother recognized a vocation there, and he was sent to school. And he continued to advance in school, achieving high marks, developing his mind, developing his spirituality, and was finally able to go to the seminary. His parents couldn't afford it, but because of a scholarship, which he certainly deserved, he was able to go to the seminary. And you read his life, and he advanced from going through the different steps, being ordained a priest, eventually becoming a bishop, then going on to become a cardinal, Patriarch of Venice, and then being chosen pope. And some books on his life refer to him as the peasant boy who became pope. That, in other words, even though he was from a very poor family, because of his holiness, because of his learning, his devotion to his vocation, he was eventually elected pope. Now, Pope Pius X took as his papal motto to restore all things in Christ. And it is incredible, when you read his life, to realize how much he accomplished in 11 years as pope. That's not a very long time, maybe an average time for a papal reign. But he was elected pope on August the 4th of 1903, and as I mentioned, died August 20th, 11 years later, 1914. And during that time, he truly sought to restore all things in Christ. He is known for a number of accomplishments. The two perhaps most significant were condemnation of modernism and allowing children to receive communion at an early age. So I will put those two topics off later to later in the sermon. Other things he accomplished were to restore church music. Now, in the 1700s and 1800s, great composers wrote masses. In other words, they would write a setting for the Kyrie or the Gloria or the Creed, etc., to be sung. And sometimes those were sung at Mass, but they were more grandiose, you might say operatic, and not really fitting for the church, fitting more for a theater. where you would concentrate on the music. And Pope Pius X brought back to its proper role, proper significance, Gregorian chant. And he promoted proper church music. He also was known for promoting Christian doctrine. When he was a young priest, he taught catechism to the children. And he was convinced that one of the problems with the Catholic faithful, where there are problems, is they're not adequately instructed in their faith. We all need to learn the catechism, study it. And so he promoted the work of Christian doctrine, teaching the catechism. He also codified church law, what we call canon law. And before his time, the laws of the church were found in different volumes. And sometimes it was very confusing. What is the particular law of the church that applies to this situation or that situation? And so he assigned a cardinal to gather together a committee and work on bringing all these disparate volumes and laws together and under one volume, what we call the Code of Canon Law. So that is another thing he's known for. Again, there are many accomplishments, but we especially think of Pope Pius X as the Pope of Holy Communion. Now, because of the influence of Jansenism, which was a terrible heresy of the 17th century, but still, despite its condemnation, some of the ideas of Jansenism continued on for the next two or three centuries, and one of them was an exaggeration of an idea of God's holiness and greatness and our unworthiness. And so people would not go to communion very often. Children would not receive their first communion until they were at least 12 years old. And the laity, for the most part, would go to communion once a month, maybe at the most twice a month. Some people once or twice a year. And so Pope Pius X encouraged the faithful to receive Holy Communion, and he said it's not complicated. There are only three requirements. Is obviously one must be a baptized Catholic, but observe the fast, be in the state of sanctifying grace, and have the proper intention. Why we receive our Lord? Because we love him. We know how weak we are. We know how we need to be spiritually nourished. And so we desire to receive him. And Pope Pius X particularly allowed children to receive Holy Communion at an early age. As long as they had attained the age of reason, they desired to receive our Lord, they had the basic knowledge that they're not receiving a piece of bread, that this is truly the body and blood of Christ through the consecration at Mass. As long as children could understand that, they desired to receive our Lord, they had a sufficient piety, they could be admitted to Holy Communion even at an early age. So we all owe Pope St. Pius X gratitude for instituting early Holy Communion and encouraging frequent Holy Communion. Because the body and blood of our Lord is the bread of life. And without spiritual sustenance, we would starve spiritually and eventually die spiritually to the life of sanctifying grace. So this is perhaps his greatest accomplishment. But just as important, and in one sense even more so, is his condemnation of modernism. Now, Pope Pius X was a very brilliant man. And as a bishop, and then a cardinal, he would read things that were being written by different priests. And there were two priests in particular who had these ideas that he later condemned as modernism. And if you wonder what modernism is, there's many different aspects to it. He referred to it as the synthesis of all heresies. We could say modernism is this idea of evolution of doctrine, this idea of relativism insofar as faith and morals, that the idea that the teachings of the church can change with the times, that the church has to adapt itself to the culture of the times. That is terrible heresy. God is truth, and all truth comes from God. And if something is immoral, for example, you say divorce and remarriage is immoral, it can never become acceptable. It can never become moral. You don't have this relativism with faith and morals that is contingent upon the culture of the age in which you live. So that's one of the terrible evils, the terrible heresy results of the heresy of modernism. It also teaches what's called vital immanence, and that is that faith doesn't come from without, being instructed and accepting the faith, but rather it comes from within, and the Holy Ghost, ultimately, modernism teaches that the Holy Ghost is behind all the religions in the world. That's how John Paul II, and then after him, Benedict XVI, could have these pan-religious meetings in Assisi, because they believe all these religions are just reflections of the one truth, and that God is behind all of them. And so this has led to ecumenism. Well, Pope Pius X knew this. He knew what modernism would do if it were not suppressed. And so he wrote a masterly encyclical called Pascendi Gregis Dominici in 1907. And in addition to that, he had a syllabus of the main errors of modernism, and he authored an oath against modernism. And every priest, before he was ordained, was required to take the oath against modernism. And professors in seminaries had to do so. Superiors, abbots, etc., religious orders, would take this oath against modernism. And by doing that, he was able to suppress modernism, but it didn't die. There were those priests, religious, seminary teachers, who harbored modernist ideas, and they kept it hidden. And then finally, in the 1960s, there was the blossoming of modernism at Vatican II. Ecumenism and all the false teachings of modernism came to the fore in 1962 to 1965 at Vatican Council II. And it's very significant that the oath against modernism, which Pope St. Pius X wrote and commanded to be recited under oath by every priest before his ordination, that was eliminated by Paul VI in 1967. Why do you think they eliminated the oath against modernism? Because they were modernists and didn't agree with it. And so modernism flooded the church after the death of Pope Pius XII, and we have the terrible disaster of the loss of faith of millions upon millions of Catholics. Priests leaving the priesthood, nuns leaving the convent, leaving their religious life, etc. And so many Catholics losing their faith because of the error of modernism. That is how terrible a heresy can be. So Pope Pius X was the hammer of modernism. He was a great pope who recognized the evil of this teaching and suppressed it and condemned it. So he is a saint we should invoke. We should know about his life because he is a saint for our times. As I said, he died in 1914, and he died of a broken heart because he did everything he could to prevent World War I. He wrote to the heads of state in Europe. He could see that Europe was careening towards war, and he did everything he could to prevent it. And when war broke out, it was too much for his paternal heart as Pope. And it really was the cause of his death. He was canonized then exactly 40 years later. He died in August of 1914 and was canonized on May 29th, 1954. And as I said, his feast is assigned to the 3rd of September. I mentioned earlier, we know he's in heaven because he was formally canonized by Pope Pius XII. Any saint who is canonized by a true pope is in heaven. And we should invoke them. We should learn about them, and we should strive to imitate them. Pope Pius X, in addition to being a great pope, fulfilling his role as the chief shepherd of the church, was also a very humble man, very detached. He wrote in his final will, his last will, he wrote the words, "I was born poor, I have lived poor, and I want to die poor." And he was also very gentle. Even though he strongly condemned modernism, he was known for his gentleness, his meekness, his compassion. And we see this in the decree to allow children to receive communion at an early age. So let us invoke him today, especially to help us to have a great love for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and to be strong against heresy, to persevere as faithful Catholics in this age of modernism and error that surrounds us today. Pope St. Pius X, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.